This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now, back to Frank Cusimano from the McBride and Son Home Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM and inside STL.com. We're broadcasting live from the McBride and Son Home Studios. Brendan Schaefer, Brian Hoffman. Brendan, last segment we spent about half of it discussing the NC2A tournament. The actual tournament starts tonight. The big action starts on Thursday afternoon. And joining us here on the winning streak listener line of Bleacher Report and actually quite a lot of other institutions, including GQ Magazine as well, is Reed Forgrave. Reed, how are you today, sir?
I'm good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're excited. How psyched are you for the tournament?
I mean, it's the best time of the year, you know? It's like Christmas in March. I hope kids aren't listening, but once you realize the truth about Santa Claus, you know, Christmas loses a little bit of its luster, but March Madness never, ever loses its luster, especially when you get to sit at home and work from home like I do, so there's no problem having the television on in the background.
Well, so yeah, so what's your setup then? Because a popular thing to do is on that first day or two of the tournament is people will post their photos of their setup where they have like a TV or two, they have their iPads and they have their iPhones and they have their laptop. What's your setup when there are three or four different networks playing games?
I keep it pretty simple. Just my laptop and my TV. So and I'll certainly be switching back and forth on the TV. I'm pretty handy with the remote. So I don't get like too involved. It can be a little chaotic when you got like three close games with 2 minutes left and you're not sure which one to watch. So it can certainly be a little chaotic. The best my former employer working at Fox Sports 1, sitting in there in the green room where there's like, literally, it's like the best sports bar ever. You got like 15 TVs on a bank in front of you, and you can just kick back. Unfortunately, no beer in that sports bar, so watching from home, you have some other advantages.
What's your brew of choice then on Thursday?
I drink IPAs, but it can be a little bit trouble because like those are like 7%, 8% beers, and you know, if you crack one open at noon, by like 4 o'clock, you're like, uh-oh.
I know. I have to be careful because I'm a graduate of Marquette, and they play Friday night at like 9 o'clock. So I'm going to have to pace myself a little bit once I get out of work.
Big time. You might have to drink even some Michelob Ultra to really pace yourself. Or just water. Like, what's the difference?
St. Patrick's Day. I'm not sure that's allowed. Anyway, tournament starts this week. We were talking last segment kind of bracket picking philosophies. Everyone kind of has theirs in terms of how they try to foresee updates or upsets, rather. I'm wondering what's your philosophy, and is there a particular upset that you kind of have circled already to look out for this week?
Yeah, I mean, like, for the record, I'm terrible at picking upsets. I can always justify them statistically and be like, yeah, Middle Tennessee is totally going to beat Minnesota. That's your 12-5 game. I think I see a, you know, 12-5 is the one that you always got to pick at least one, if not several. I think it's something like 1 year in the past 9 years that a 12 has not beat a 5. And over that time period, I think it's like the 12's record is like 17-19. I just totaled this up a couple days ago. So it's like the biggest cliche of bracket picking, but you got to pick a 12. And that's because those are generally the best mid-major schools that are slotted around that 12 seed. And then the 5 seed, you can get, look, sometimes you can get a really talented team that underplayed, but a lot of times you can get those middling high major schools, like in Minnesota, a team that could have been slotted for like a 5, 6, 7, or 8 seed, and they just got like slightly overseeded. So that's one that I'd certainly look at. I always like to have an upset in my Final Four just because if you pick all 1 seeds and 2 seeds, it's just kind of boring, even though like odds are like that's probably going to be how it's going to work in the end. This year, my upset special, and it's burned me the past 2 years, I'm still going with Iowa State. I think they're a really intriguing team this year. A lot of seniors. I think 4 of their 5 starters are seniors. They have a steady, steady point guard, one of the best point guards in the country that no one talks about, with Monte Morris. And then they have a dude in Deontay Burton who, if he comes out and he's good Deontay, he can be the best player on the floor no matter who they're playing. He can also come out way too hyped for an NCAA tournament game and just be jacking up threes and shoot for like 2 for 12 with 7 turnovers. So that's admittedly a very risky pick. But look, like, odds are you're probably not going to win your bracket. Odds are you're not going to have the Middle Tennessee over Michigan State, huge upset, biggest of all time last year. Like, nobody picked that. And anyone who did wasn't paying attention, because Michigan State was one of the best 2 or 3 teams in the country last year, and they should not have lost that game. But I think, like, what picking brackets is all about, yeah, it's about winning a couple bucks, but it's really about, like, having a dog in the hunt. I'm a University of Missouri grad. As we all know, they're no longer in the hunt. They haven't been in the hunt since, like, early December. So it's like you fill out that bracket and you know who to root for. And that's also why I am of the firm belief that you only fill out one bracket and then you use it for all of them. The people who fill out 9 different brackets and can say, oh, I picked that upset, I'm like, whatever. You picked that upset in 1 out of your 9 brackets. Fill out one, put it in all your pools, and, like, have some integrity, man.
All right, Reed, so as a fellow Missouri grad, I'm looking for a reason to pick against Kansas. And you've got Iowa State. Can you convince me? Because I thought, okay, yeah, Iowa State, that makes sense. But then people are talking about Nevada beating Iowa State, and maybe I could go Michigan State to beat KU. Can you just try to convince me for why Iowa State can beat Kansas and I can knock those guys out early?
Well, I actually think Kansas has the toughest road to the Final Four for a 1 seed, certainly one of the toughest roads. Like, UNC would have to face, you know, in theory, either Kentucky or UCLA in the Elite Eight to get to the Final Four. But their road to get to the Elite Eight, I think, is pretty easy. Whereas you look at Kansas's road to the Elite Eight, in theory, they'd have to go through Michigan State. What's the biggest cliche in college basketball? They'll never bet against Tom Izzo in March. They have to go through Iowa State, a team that won at Allen Fieldhouse, like a month ago. And then they'd have to go through, or Purdue, like Purdue, a team with the best big man in the country. You know, Kansas is one where they struggle is down low. They don't have much depth down low. And then in theory, they'd have to play like a Louisville. And one thing about Louisville, that would be a tight, titanic coaching matchup. You know, Bill Self versus Rick Pitino. Louisville always plays awesome defense, especially their guards. And Frank Mason's a stud, but I think he's been known, not so much this year, but in past years, to take too much of the burden on his shoulders and be like, I'm going to go play hero ball. So I could see him trying to play hero ball against a Louisville and turning the ball over more times than he usually does.
Getting back to
how's
what
that?
That's
your
good.
I'm Kansas to lose. That's good, right?
And I was looking for a reason. So, and I actually had them penciled into my Final Four. I'm going to scrap all that because I'm not going to be rooting for Kansas. Like you said, they're not my dog in the hunt. So I'll go ahead and pick Kansas to get knocked out early. I like your reasoning.
There you go. There you go.
All right. So getting back to, like you said, the mid-majors, the best mid-majors oftentimes are reasons that the 5-12 upsets can go down, because those are the schools that people kind of overlook, and they can really get hot as a team and can knock off one of those big dogs. But I was wondering if you were as disappointed as I was to see some of those mid-majors kind of be stacked up against one another in some of these games, instead of letting the Wichita States and the Daytons and VCUs and even St. Mary's, instead of letting those guys go up against some of the bigger name schools, the committee paired them all against one another. I was curious about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I hate my worst complaint about this bracket is the seeding of mid-majors. Exactly what you just pointed out. First of all, like, Wichita State as a 10 seed is ridiculous. They're at least a 6 seed, if not better. Like, you look at some of the advanced metrics, and they're a top 10 team in the nation. And they're a 10 seed that's favored to beat Dayton by 6.5 points. Like, that should never happen. That should never happen. Look, I don't think the tournament selection committee is, like, personally biased against really good mid-major schools. But you look at this bracket, and it sure seems that way. One is the seeding. I think it is unfair how low a lot of these mid-major schools are seeded, specifically Wichita State, but there are other examples as well. And I hope that changes going forward next year when they do use more advanced metrics like KenPom, like Sagarin, like BPI. It's too reliant on RPI, and RPI is a metric that doesn't help the mid-major schools. But look, yeah, I hate that they're playing each other, because Archie Miller must have been absolutely furious. He's like, well, we had this great year. We got a 7 seed, which is pretty good and I think fairly accurate. And we got to play stinking Wichita State. I mean, same with St. Mary's. We're going to go against VCU as a 7 seed when, you know, we've been ranked in the top 25 for much of the year. I absolutely hate that. And I'm going to take this one further. I'm going to give you one kind of off the radar mid-major to pick going to the Sweet 16, and that's Rhode Island. One reason is they're just a really talented team. They had a great coach in Danny Hurley. It's Bobby Hurley's brother. They have a guy who, you know, they were ranked in the top 25 in the preseason before they had a bunch of injuries. They have a guy who's an possible future NBA player in E.C. Matthews. And you look at their matchups. They're playing Creighton in the first round. Creighton's a 6 seed, but their point guard's hurt. They were a top 10 team in the nation before Maurice Watson got hurt. And they've kind of found their footing since then, but they're not the same team. And then in the second round, they could be playing a 3 seed of Oregon. Oregon just lost one of the best post players, Chris Boucher. We don't know what Oregon is going to look like without him. He wasn't like as much the heart and soul of his team as Maurice Watson was, but he was a really, a really big X factor. So if you're going to pick an 11 seed to go to the Sweet 16, I think Rhode Island's a really good pick there.
Reed Forgrave, Bleacher Report, college basketball writer, joining us here in the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan. The winning streak listener line is what brings him here. Reed, Missouri didn't make it, SLU didn't make it, Illinois didn't make it, so we have no reason to ask you about any local teams in the NCAA tournament. Because of that, I'm going to act entirely out of self-interest here and ask you about the Marquette-South Carolina game on Friday night. Differing styles, Marquette top 10 adjusted offense, South Carolina top 10 adjusted defense. I'm just curious how you see that game playing out.
You know, I picked Marquette just kind of going off my gut. Great point guard, great young point guard, Marcus Howard, a big guy, Luke Fisher, who is, I think, you know, a big guy that nobody talks about, but I think could have an NBA future. Look, South Carolina, they're a tough team. They are, Frank Martin, when he took over that team, his first year, I went to one of his practices, and he inherited all these players. And they're like, what the heck? I got to play for this maniac? And it just didn't fit. And now he has Frank Martin guys who buy into his personality, who buy into his system, who buy into defense first, who buy into toughness, who hear his screaming and pay attention to his screaming, but don't, like, go home and cry to their mom about it. That's a tough team, and they got one, maybe two future NBA players. Sindarius Thornwell may be the most underrated player in the entire country. So, look, I think it's certainly a tough matchup, even though a lot of people say South Carolina is overseeded as a 7 seed. And if you look at what they've done on the road this year, it's frankly, it's not much. But they are one of the best defensive teams in the country. If they're able to score on Marquette, they certainly can and probably will beat them. But that's a big question because this offense, looking at efficiency numbers, they're ranked as the 149th most efficient offense in the country. So it is kind of one of those yin and yang matchups.
All right, so as you mentioned with Rhode Island, it's kind of fun to send an 11 or a 12 seed all the way to the Sweet 16, and I do like that URI pick. But who's your team that is like the worst seed, but you have at least winning a first-round matchup? Do you have any 14s or 15s going forward there?
Florida Gulf Coast over Florida State.
Florida
State is super, super talented,
yeah,
but really inconsistent this year. Especially when they're on the road. The question there is, like, how does they're playing in Orlando. How does that dynamic help or hurt either team? It's an in-state game. There's going to be a lot of fans of both teams out there. I assume a lot more Florida State fans. So I assume it may play more like a home game and they could win by 25 points, which is what we've seen from them at home. That said, with the inconsistency, with the fact that Gulf Coast has been there, they have for a small school, they have a really big fan base and a really loud fan base. So, and they're a well-coached team. They, you know, Bill Self, former assistant Joe Dooley, is running the show there after Andy Enfield went to USC. So that's one that I'd pick. I think UNC Wilmington as a 12 seed isn't the most exciting upset pick, to me, it's an interesting one. I mean, maybe Nevada over Iowa State, although I have Iowa State going to my Final Four. Here's the thing. Like, it's going to be something that you never think of, right? Like, that's why we love the NCAA tournament, because no one was talking about Middle Tennessee State last year. Everyone was saying, oh, Michigan State kind of got screwed. They should have been a one seed. Instead, they got a two seed. Oh, whatever. They'll still make the Final Four because they're one of the best teams in the country. Well, then they lost a team that no one had ever heard of until they all of a sudden pulled off the biggest upset in NCAA tournament history.
Reed, which number one seed do you think is maybe in danger of not surviving the first weekend, or do you see all four of them going to at least the Sweet 16?
Boy, I mean, I think Kansas has a tough draw with Michigan State. I think that's probably, you know, assuming Michigan State wins their first round game over Miami, I think that's a really tough draw for Kansas. And frankly, I think Villanova, in theory, having to play a Wisconsin team that, you know, at certain points during the season was a top 10 team in the country, has really fallen off over the past several weeks, but then, you know, made it to the Big Ten title game. So Wisconsin has some talent. They're the type of team that can control the pace. I'd be worried about that and not too thrilled with that draw if I am, if I'm a Villanova fan.
All right, Reed, we'll ask you one more question, non-tournament related, before you leave us here. Mizzou coaching situation, there's been talk of Tom Crean, there's been talk of Konzo Martin. As a guy who went to Mizzou, who are you hoping realistically that the Tigers can land as their next head coach?
Oh, well, everyone's going to say Greg Marshall, but he already turned that job down.
Right.
Greg Marshall would be awesome. I love Crean. I know he can be a divisive figure. He's a little bit abrasive, I guess would be the word, a little bit coarse, but he is one of the smartest coaches there is out there. I think he's misunderstood. He's a great coach. He develops talent at a very high level. You know, and he has a track record. I know he's not, you know, Indiana fans have been disappointed with him, some of which is fair, most of which I think is like, dude, you've won like two Big Ten titles the past 4 years. Like, so, you know, calm down a little bit. If he lands there, I think that would be a home run hire for Mizzou, an absolute home run. Konzo Martin, I don't know, kind of mixed about that. Like, he recruited some great kids to Cal last year, and that team was a pretty big disappointment. So I'd be thrilled with Tom Crean. I think that would be an absolute home run for Mizzou and a great landing spot for him.
Reed Forgrave, Bleacher Report, at Reed Forgrave on Twitter. That's at Reed Forgrave. And by the way, if you go to his Twitter account, pinned at the top, I remember reading this back in January, is a GQ magazine piece on the effects of concussions on a now-deceased high school student, which I cannot recommend enough. It was a fantastic piece for that, Reed, that really opens your eyes to the issues that the concussions continue to have on young athletes. Reed, we hope you enjoy the IPAs on Thursday and Friday and beyond. Thank you for your time today, sir.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Talk to you later.
That's Reed Forgrave of Bleacher Report, once again at Reed Forgrave on Twitter. So, Tom Crean, again, appears to be the guy that a lot of not just basketball analysts foresee, but in Reed's case, a Missouri graduate would like to see the Tigers bring in. We got some good tournament analysis from Reed Forgrave. We'll react to that and have a few more tidbits on the other side of this timeout. However, before we go to break, I want to mention that Westminster Christian Academy, another one of our fine sponsors, cultivating Christian minds and character. Visit WCASTL.org for more information. We'll take a quick timeout. This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box on the all-new 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM and InsideSTL.com.